How much does God love us? Today on Maranatha Radio, Pastor Ray Bentley says we'll only know when we stop resisting Him.
God has such a unique, special love for you. But that love can only be manifest and experienced as I yield more and more of my life to Him. These are no longer my hands, they're your hands. It's no longer my mind, it's your mind. My body is yours, my spirit is yours, once and for all.
Spread the news of His people coming down before the King.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. In a culture like ours, we have a hard time yielding to anything. We don't like to back down. When we get on the freeway, there has to be a sign to tell us to merge. It's the automotive way of saying, hey, play well with others. Well, today, Pastor Ray explains what riches await us when we do yield to the Lord.
Beginning with Romans chapter 6, verse 12. We've begun the first 11 verses with the mystical truth. If you're a believer in Jesus, you are in Christ. And it's equally true that Christ is in you. At the cross, it's not only true that Jesus died, but it's equally true that if I'm in Him, I died, and I died to sin. But He did not stay in the grave, and on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. So I am risen. I and you are to be as those who have risen from the dead. But now we have to move from that mystical reality of being in Christ, I'm dead to sin, I'm alive to God, now to the practical. How do I live that out? What does that look like? What does it mean? And so look with me at verse 12. We begin with verse 12. He says, now, since that's true that I'm in Christ, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Paul is saying attitude must become action. The attitude of mind that I am dead to sin must be translated into the action of my experience, that I am now dead to things that I used to be alive to, and now I am alive to things that I used to be dead to. Stop letting sin reign. Why? Because whenever sin reigns in my body, I become a slave to it. And that's why Jesus came to set us free. He not only came then to set me free from the guilt of my past sins, He came to empower me so that I can keep from sinning in the future. Because it's only going to bring more pain, more misery, more sorrow, more hurt into my life, and more slavery. So the Lord literally wants to bring freedom. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 24, that scripture is in your notes. Let's read that scripture out loud together. God is spirit. And those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Do you know that's what God has always been looking for? From the very beginning, with Adam and Eve, God was looking for a people. With Abraham, God was looking for a people. He's always been looking for a people, Jesus said, who will worship their Creator in spirit and in truth. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had everything. They were perfect in all of their ways, and the garden was beautiful beyond description, but they turned away from their Creator. What did they choose instead? They chose something that was good to eat, pleasing to look at, and desirable to make them wise. That was the original temptation. There were millions of other trees they could eat the fruit of, but this fruit was poison. This fruit was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God never meant for man to know evil by experience. And so what Adam and Eve chose, they chose the things in that tree, symbolic in that tree, is they chose the things of the flesh instead of the things of the spirit. And the reality is that every single one of us in here, including your pastor, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us have, like Adam and Eve, chosen in our lives, to one degree or another, to one measure or another, the things of the flesh over the things of the Spirit. That's why we're sinners. That's why we're empty. That's why we're lonely. That's why there is something missing on the inside. But here's the good news. Even in that state, God loves us. Absolutely loves us. Now, those of you that are parents or grandparents or that have had the joy of having children or grandchildren know this. Can children hurt you? Oh, yeah. Can they disappoint you? Absolutely. Can they do things that will bring a grief to your heart? You bet. But the love, see, the very fact that it hurts so bad is the proof that the love is so great. And God was hurt. God was disappointed. He was brokenhearted and grieved. But it never stopped him from loving us. And that's why in the eternal plan of God, he knew what we would choose. And he also knew that he would still love us. And he also had a plan whereby he would send his only begotten Son to die and to pay our punishment, to pay for our sins uniquely, individually, as well as corporately, as well as for every generation of human beings. And so that he would give us another chance. And with another chance comes another choice. Now it changes my future because I'm going to be put on a daily basis right back in the Garden of Eden, and there's two trees, the tree of life, Jesus, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What am I going to choose tomorrow? And what many Christians do is they end up taking advantage of the goodness of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God, and they keep choosing the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They don't change their ways, they don't change their habits, but they keep repenting and they keep asking God to forgive. And they keep grieving the heart of their Father. And they keep bringing more pain and hurt to themselves. At some point, what Paul is saying is we got to move now to the mystical, to the practical. We've got to, if I could put it simply and bluntly, grow up. And growing up as a Christian means, all right, here I am again. In the garden, two trees. And we reach the point where we choose of our own volition. Because the Spirit is in us and with us and will empower us and help us. And I say, so that's it. Oh, yeah, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Not this time, pal. Not today. Oh, you look good, but I know what you look like on the inside. I know you taste good now, but I know the bitterness that will make my stomach sick. I know that you have a certain wisdom that seems rational today, but I also know that the day will come when you will be laughing at me, mocking me as a fool. No, thank you. In fact, I'm going to, this time, instead of turning my back on my Father, I'm going to turn my back on you. I'm going to, instead of indulging my flesh, I'm going to deny my flesh. In fact, I'm going to make the priority the things of the Spirit, which is who I really am, not the things of the flesh, where we literally begin to turn things around. That should be, it's not that we reach perfection, but there should be, I should be a more holy person today than I was a year ago. That's why Paul says, if you're in Christ, verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lusts thereof. Now let's look at verse 13. It says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Paul says, stop letting sin reign. It doesn't have to. You know, it's again like that old phrase, you know, you don't have to keep beating your head against the wall. And then they go up and they ask, why are you doing that? And he said, because it feels so good when I stop. So why don't you not do that? That's what he's saying, very simply. Stop yielding to sin and start yielding to the Spirit. What does it mean to yield to the Spirit? It is a loving possession. The Holy Spirit possesses a believer. And so the more of Christ that I have, that I move and live and have my being in, the more fulfilled I become, then I want to become less and less so that I might be filled more and more with Christ. How do I do that? By yielding. The word yield is found five times in Romans chapter 6, in verse 13, 16, and 19. And it means to place at one's disposal. So what is Paul saying? Place your body at the disposal of your Father in heaven. It means to present your body to your Father, and then to offer as a sacrifice. Present your body as a sacrifice. Now, what kind of sacrifice? Let's read Romans chapter 12, verse 1 out loud together. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. You see, it's the old covenant that required dead sacrifices. In the new covenant, God doesn't want dead sacrifices anymore. He wants living sacrifices. He wants you to live. He's not asking you physically to die. He's asking you to die to the things of the flesh inwardly, but yet be alive to Him, more alive than you've ever been alive. And may I say this, to the degree that you will die to the flesh, to that degree you will experience the power and the glory and the presence and the intimacy of the Spirit of God. There are many Christians saying, well, if God will fill me more with His Spirit, then I'll leave doing the things of the flesh. It doesn't work that way. You have to stop yielding your members to the flesh, and then you are filled with the Spirit. You see, you may be waiting on God when in reality God is waiting on you. And by the way, the decision that is mentioned here is a once-in-a-lifetime kind of surrender to the Lord. Let me read from another literal translation of verse 13. It says this, "Do not constantly allow sin to reign in your mortal body so that you are constantly obeying its lusts. Neither constantly yield your members of your body as weapons or tools of unrighteousness to sin. But once and for all, yield yourselves to God." There must be in the believer's life a final, complete surrender of the body to Jesus to be possessed of Him. He wants me to follow, but if I don't want to, I can easily crush the still, small voice of the Spirit. The Spirit of God will never make you go to church. The only reason you're in church is because you chose to come to church. He wanted you to come. He drew you to come. He brought out that need and that hunger, but He didn't make you do what you didn't want to do. And so it is in the Christian life. You have to yield to Him the members of your body. You have to yield to Him your mind. You have to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, because we need to surrender our bodies. And the more that I surrender and yield to the Holy Spirit, the more fulfilled, the more happy, the more joyful, the more peaceful I will become. Why does the Lord want your body? There are two reasons. Number one, the believer's body is God's temple. The Lord wants to use your body for His glory. Let's read 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 out loud. "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." God could live anywhere He wants. He could make whatever He wants. He could have any mansion that He wants to live in and to dwell in. He is infinitely vast. The universe, which we still haven't seen the end of it. We don't know how far it goes. We still are looking, and we get more and more powerful telescopes, and whoa, didn't know that was out there. More and more and more and vast, and it almost seems eternal. And yet the Bible, through the prophet Isaiah, said God spans to Him in relation to the entire universe in His right hand. He holds the universe in His hand. So many times we say God's in the universe. That's true, but it would probably be more accurate to say the universe is in God. Our Father is so good and so loving. He could live wherever he wants. Guess where he wants to live? He wants to live in you. The temple he has chosen are those men and women who are made in his image and after his likeness. But there is another reason why the Lord wants your body. And that is, my body is God's weapon or tool of righteousness. You see, in this battle, both God and sin are looking for weapons to use. Sin looks for a body to bring hurt and pain and division. God looks for a body to bring his kingdom and healing and life and light and love. And in an amazing way, and to a large extent, we could say that God doesn't work without men. He waits for men in order that he might manifest himself through men. It's always been true. In fact, how long will God wait? He waited once for the children of Israel 400 years. They were in bondage and slavery. He waited. He waited until there was a man named Moses who was willing to yield his mind, his soul, his heart, and his body to the revelation given on a mountain. And he said, Lord, I will go. Tell me your name, and I will go for you. Tell them that I am, has sent you. Moses went back to Pharaoh, and he said, I am, has sent me. Let my people go. And only when the Spirit of God in the body of his tool of righteousness spoke the word, did the deliverance on earth come. If God wants to speak a word, he uses a man to speak it. If he wants a work done, he uses a man to perform it. If he wants the gospel to be preached, he uses his church. If he wants a person to be encouraged, he uses a man or woman that will yield their tongue to bring that word that will uplift and encourage them. In this world is a battle, and we must choose who we will yield our body to and which side that truly we are on. The Bible tells us that if we will yield to him, God will possess us in a loving way and use us in a mighty and powerful way. Let's close with verse 14. Stop yielding to sin. Start yielding your body to the Spirit of God as an instrument of righteousness. And finally, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Paul has said, first of all, that sin will lose and that you are in Christ, but now he's telling us that we will have ultimate victory. Many times we look at it and say, I can't win the battle of sin. Paul is telling us, no, you will win. Sin will lose. You will be eradicated wholly of sin, but you can begin yielding now more and more of your life to holiness, greater amounts and greater areas and territory of your heart, mind, soul, and body can become possessed, if you will, of the kingdom of God. And that ultimately, you will win, the Lord will win, and righteousness will win in your body because you're not under law, but you're under grace. Grace is divine, unconditional favor with God. You can't lose if God is for you. Who can be against you? And if anybody is against you, what difference does it really make? If God is for us, who can be against us? And Paul will get us there in Romans chapter 8. God has such a unique, special love for you. But that love can only be manifest and experienced as I yield more and more of my life to him. I'm going to just ask you to give it to him. Lord, here it is. These are no longer my hands. They're your hands. It's no longer my feet. They're your feet. This is no longer my tongue. It's your tongue. It's no longer my mind, it's your mind. My body is yours, my soul is yours, my spirit is yours, once and for all. But what's that like, and what happens if I do that? And by the way, that's for all Christians. It's not just for the missionaries and pastors and evangelists. That's for every child of God. He wants you bad. He wants all of you. And he won't settle for anything less than everything. Remember the little boy that when they wanted to feed the multitudes, and Jesus said to his disciples, you feed them. They said, we can't feed them. We don't have enough. And we don't have enough money to go buy the enough to feed the masses who are here. 5,000 men alone add the women and children, and you've got a crowd of 15 to 20,000 people. Jesus says to the disciples who have left their fishing, they're living hand to mouth, following Jesus for 3 years. He says, you feed them. They go, we can't. I would love to have seen Jesus' face. I think he smiled. Big time lesson. He says, bring me what you have. I can almost imagine one of the disciples goes over and he goes, let's show him what we have. They scour around, look, there's a little boy, brought his lunch. We'll bring that. So they come up to him. Here's a couple of loaves of bread, a few fish. Jesus takes, they have no idea what's about to happen. That bread, which was nothing compared to the need, is many times how I feel when I present myself to God. Lord, here I am, and I don't even feel like a loaf of bread. I feel like a little tiny crumb somewhere in his palm. Lord, I'm a crumb. How can you use me? I offer myself, but I ain't much. Jesus said, it's all right. Give me what you have. Here's what he'll do when you offer yourself to him. Number one, what's the first thing Jesus did with that bread? First thing, he broke it. When you offer yourself to God, guess what the first thing he's going to do with you is? You're going to be broken. Your heart will be broken. Your mind will be broken. But it's the old habits, the old ways that brought such pain and misery, the parts that need to be broken up. Because that's what's killing you. He's going to break. But then he doesn't leave us broken. Second thing Jesus did after he broke the bread, he blessed it. He blessed it, Father. You see the people, you see the needs, you see what I have in my hand. Bless what I have in my hands. And then he passed it out. And then the miracle took place. And that which was so small, insignificant, multiplied to meet the hungry needs, thousands, tens of thousands of people. That's what Jesus will do with you and with me. And notice this, the only way Jesus could break and bless the bread is if he have his hands all over that bread. Many of you are experiencing a new sense of brokenness in the presence of the Lord. May I encourage you, the only way you could be and feel and experience a brokenness is if the Lord's hands himself, the Master's hands, are all over your life. And immediately following the breaking will come the blessing, and then will come the giving away of your life and the lessons of love he has shared with you, with everyone around you.
Pastor Ray Bentley, explaining how the Lord can use us when we yield, once we're broken and truly become his. Good insight today here on Maranatha Radio. And listen, to get a permanent copy of today's message, just contact us and mention the title of the study. It's Yielding to Love, and we can send it to you for just $7. Again, the message title is Yielding to Love. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Romans on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, your book, The Holy Land Key, is not only based on your years of biblical study, but it's based on some unique relationships you've enjoyed with people in the Middle East.
You know, that's very true. I had no idea, Dave, but the Lord kind of spoke to me, and he just said, hey, you know, you tell the story, you teach the story of prophecy, son, I got some surprises for you. You're going to be stepping into the story. And when I took that adventure with the Lord, I found myself literally in the office of the current prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, and sharing the things of the Lord with him. And it was a powerful, incredible opportunity and experience. And that's part of what I get to share the story about in the book, The Holy Land Key.
He's a thoughtful man that really is trying to do his best to lead that nation.
You know, he is. The whole world being focused on Israel, and right now focused on the prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. We're living at one of the most exciting hours in human history, and we get to share and tell some of those stories in the book, The Holy Land Key.
All right. Well, why not get a copy for yourself? It's available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127, or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Romans. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.